ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भात् ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदम् पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ ईशावास्यम् इदं सर्वम् यत्किञ्च जगत्याञ्जगत् जगत्याञ्जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः मा गृधः कस्य स्विद्धनम् कस्य स्विद्धनम् कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि जिजीविषेच्छतगम् समाः क्षतगम् समाः एवम् त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे असुर्यानाम ते लोकाः अन्धेन तमसा वृताः तारुंस्ते प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति ये के चात्महनो जनाः अनेजदेकम् मनसोजवीयः नैनद्देवा आप्नुवन् पूर्वमर्षत् तद्धावतोऽन्यानत्येति तिष्ठत्तस्मिन्नपो मातरिष्वादधाति तदेजति तन्नैजति तद्दूरे तद्वन्तिके तदन्तरस्य सर्वस्य तदु सर्वस्यास्य बाह्यतः यस्तु सर्वाणि भूतानि आत्मन्येवानुपश्यति सर्वभूतेषु चात्मानम् ततो न विजुगुप्सते यस्मिन् सर्वाणि भूतानि आत्मैवाभूत् विजानतः तत्र को मोहः कः शोकः एकत्वमनुपश्यतः சபரியகாச்சுக்ரம் அகாயமௌரணம் அஸ்நாவிரகம் சுத்தமபாபவித்தம் கவிர்மனீஷீ பரிபூஸ்வயம்பூஃ யாதா தத்யதோர்த்தான் வ்யததாத் ஶாஸ்வதீப்யஃ ஸமாப்யஃ வ்யததாச்சாஸ்வதீப்யஃ ஸமாப்யஃ அந்தம் தமஃப் ப்ரவிஷந்தி யே அவித்யாமுபாஸதே ததோ போய இவதே தமோ ய ஊ வித்யாயாம் ரதாஹ வித்யாயாகம் ரதாஹ அன்யதேவாஹுஹ வித்யயா அன்யதாஹுர வித்யயா இதி சுஷ்ருமதீராணாம் தீராணாம் ஏனஸ்தது விசசக்ஷிரே வித்யாஞ்ச அவித்யாஞ்ச யஸ்தத்வேத உபயகும் ஸஹ அவித்யயா மிருத்யும் தீர்த்வா வித்யயா அம்ருதமஶ்நுதே அந்தம் தமஃப் ப்ரவிஷந்தி யே அஸம்போதிமுபாஸதே ததோ போய இவதே தமோ ய ஊ சம்போத்யாம் ரதாஹ அன்யதேவாஹுஹ சம்பவாத் அன்யதாஹுஹ அசம்பவாத் இதி சுஷ்ருமதீராணாம் ஏனஸ்தத்விச சக்ஷிரே அசம்போதிஞ்ச விநாஶஞ்ச யஸ்தத்வேத உபயகும் ஸஹ விநாஶேன மிருத்யும் தீர்த்வா அசம்போத்யா அம்ருதமஶ்நுதே. ஹிரண்மயேன பாத்ரேண சத்யஸ்ய அபிஹிதம் முகம் தத்வம் பூஷன் அபாவ்ருணு சத்ய தர்மாய த்ருஷ்டயே பூஷன் ஏகர்ஷே யமா சூர்ய ப்ராஜாபத்ய வ்யூஹ ரஷ்மீன் வ்யூஹ ரஷ்மீன் சமூஹ தேஜ வ்யூஹ ரஷ்மீன் சமூஹ தேஜ யத்தே ரூபம் கல்யாணதமம் தத்தே பஶ்யாமி யோசாவசௌ పురుషస్సోహమస్మి యోసావసౌ పురుషస్సోహమస్మి యోసావసౌ పురుషః సోహమస్మి. Now we are seeing the last part of the Upanishad where karma upasana samuchaya karta, the synthesizer of karma and upasana, is praying for the gatihi. Praying for the gatihi means he is praying for the accomplishment of his result. As I told you, when a person combines performance of ritual and practice of meditation together and practices, he enjoys the result of performance of ritual in terms of mental preparedness, mental purity, when he is alive in this world. But when he is experiencing his last days, when he is understanding that he'll be dying soon, the last days of his life, and he knows that he has to leave the body, and then there is a travel involved. Sukshma Shariram alone travels. Atma does not travel. Gross body does not travel, cannot travel. Gross body will get disintegrated and become one with elements here itself. Atma, the real nature of individual, also cannot travel because already all pervasive. And who is the one who leaves the physical body? What is it which departs the physical body? Departure of which makes the physical body dead? It is the mind. Mind, when I say the entire sukshma shariram, which means the subtle aspects along with the mind leave the physical body. So sukshma leaves, and this suk, therefore it is very clear, sukshma alone travels, mind travels. Journey is for on the part of the mind, not on the part of the atma. And this mind, this sukshma, should reach where? Should go to Devalokaha or Brahmalokaha, which is an abode of Hiranyagarbha. There, this jiva, the subtle body, has to become one with the Hiranyagarbha, have the Devatatma Bhavaha, or have darshan of Hiranyagarbha, what do you call it? To go there, there is a given route also. To go to Pitrulokaha, there is a Devayanaha. Now, Pitruyanaha, or dark path, or Krishna Gatihi. And to go to Devalokaha, there is a Devayanaha, or Shukla Gatihi, through which a person has to travel to reach that worlds, the respective worlds. And as long as punyam is there, he stays there. When the punyam gets exhausted, he has to come back. These are all facts we know. But here, and this person has to go, reach there, and in order to go to Devaloka, Brahmaloka otherwise, and to have the darshan of Hiranyagarbha, to have the devatatma bhava, to have the status of being a deva, he has to enter there first of all, he has to go there, for which he has to enter into the root. And here we saw in the previous mantra how the karma upasana samuchaya karta, who is qualified for enjoying that result of being one with Hiranyagarbha, and he is praying to the Suryaha. And Surya Mandalaha, Surya Mandalam, the solar orb or disk, is said to be the location where Hiranyagarbha resides, which means we should be very careful. For the purpose of meditation alone, location of Hiranyagarbha is mentioned. Don't literally take it. The location of Hiranyagarbha, why is it mentioned? Only for the purpose of meditation. Upasana. Really speaking, Hiranyagarbha is all pervasive. How can the entire subtle universe be located in one sun? See, only for the purpose of meditation, it is said that Surya Devata, Suryaha, is the locus, because for Surya, Hiranyagarbha is the Adhishthana Devata, or presiding deity. And solar disk, which is brilliant, is as though covering the way, therefore veiling the road. You are now here, the Samuchaya Karta, and he is praying to the Surya, asking to unveil the entrance to Brahmaloka for him to be able to reach Brahmaloka. He Pushan Apavranu, we saw in the previous mantra. And we started seeing the second mantra. Let us see the mantra again. Pushan. Ye Karshe. This is a nice mantra. That's why I'm teaching again. Pushan. Ye Karshe. Yama. Surya. Prajapatya. Vyuharashmin, Samuhatejaha. These two are prayers, requests. Vyuharashmin, Samuhatejaha. Two imperative verbs are there. And both these verbs, in Sanskrit, the roots are the same, oh. Even though the verb ohate is atmaneya padam, yet these two verbs are actually parasmaya pada, imperative forms. Vyuha, samuha. What's the difference in both these verbs? Vyuha means keep away your rays of light, so that it will not be an obstacle for me when I am travelling towards you, I can avoid the glare. And Rashmin Vyuha. Next prayer is what? Tejaha Samuha. So gather, collect all your rays of light together so that the heat will not be scorching. Okay, Samuha Tejaha. And having said this, first he calls the sun by five different names, and we saw the meaning of each name yesterday. I'm not going to redo it again today, even though nice names. Then Vyuha Rashmin Samuha Tejaha. Know the meaning. And the Samuchaya Karta says, Yat te rupam kalyanatamam tat pashyami. that form of yours which is most auspicious, I see your most auspicious form. How? By your own grace. We must have grace of the Lord to have this, to have His most auspicious form, to be able to see the form. Then He says, Yosavasau Purushaha Sohamasmi. Yosavasau Purushaha Sohamasmi. Okay, and this is last sentence. So Yaha Asau Purushaha Saha Aham Asmi. What he says, Hiranyagarbha, all pervasive Hiranyagarbha. What is Hiranyagarbha? Entire subtle manifestation. The totality of subtle manifestation is Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha pervades everything. And all pervasive Hiranyagarbha is there in the sun, and the same Hiranyagarbha is in me. The Hiranyagarbha which is in all, which is in Vyashti Devata, which is in Samashti, is in Vyashti. Which is in total is also in fraction. Therefore he says, Aham Asmi, I am that Hiranyagarbha. I am that Hiranyagarbha, which Hiranyagarbha is in sun. Is it clear? Literally many have seen. But today I have to make sure things very clear. Let us see the Bhashyam here in page number 66. That is where we left last night, yesterday. You were tired. Now I am sure you are fresh. I can do it. Yatte ta yatte tava rupam kalyanatamam. Kalyanam means auspicious. There are many words. Sham, Shivam, Shubham, Mangalam, Kalyanam, Bhadram, Swasti. All these words mean the same. Bhadram karnevi. Bhadram means auspiciousness. Sham karaha. Shankaraha. Sham means auspiciousness. Shivam. Shivam means auspiciousness. Shubham means auspiciousness. Swasti means auspiciousness. Kalyanam means auspiciousness. Kalyanataram, more auspicious. Kalyanatamam, most auspicious. And your form is most auspicious form. Kalyanatamam. So, Shankara Bhagavad writes, Atyanta Shobhanam. Atyanta Shobhanam. Extremely beautiful. This is the literal meaning of the word. Extremely beautiful means what? You don't even know who Hiranyagarbha is. How can you say extremely beautiful? What it means is most auspicious. Why auspicious? Because what is auspicious? Important, I have to tell you. What do you mean by auspicious? Auspicious day, auspicious form, auspicious. What is auspicious? Anything which does not cause pain, sorrow is auspicious. What is inauspicious? Anything which causes pain is inauspicious. Amangalam, ashubham. Something causes pain, it is inauspicious. The incident of death of somebody very close to you or known to you. Somebody dies somewhere, doesn't cause pain. don't even know. But somebody known to you, close to you, related to you, associated with you, somebody known to you, dies, causes pain. So death is what? Death is not inauspicious, but when it causes pain, it is inauspicious. Death by itself is not inauspicious. Death is a change. It should cause any, it is not, it does, it should not cause pain. But when it becomes, it causes pain, then it becomes inauspicious. Suppose one hundred year old man, he died. Oh, this person has died. Can we cry? Still, people who are very close to him will cry. But if you cry, death does not make you cry. The pain, isn't it, which caused by you, caused by the death, is inauspicious. Death is not inauspicious. The pain caused by death, the pain for which death is instrumental, isn't it, the pain is already there. Something triggers the pain in you. Okay, that which is instrumental, which triggers the pain in you, is not inauspicious. The pain which is triggered is inauspicious. Is it clear? Therefore, anything which causes pain is inauspicious. Now, Bhagavan is never inauspicious. Why? Bhagavan is source of auspiciousness, happiness, fullness. How can Bhagavan cause pain in you? Therefore, Kalyanatamam means what? The Lord, Hiranyagarbha, is the Lord, the whole, and his source of happiness in auspiciousness is of the form of most auspiciousness. I see your most auspicious form. That is why it is extremely beautiful form. I explained to you what is beauty, care of some other class, okay? Won't refer to that. Tat te tava atmanaha prasadat pashyami. Mantra does not say this, but Shankara Bhagavatpada writes in his commentary, I see your most auspicious form because of your own grace. Tava prasad atmanaha prasadat pashyami. Okay, next. Kincha aham natu tvam bhrityavate yache. And also, I do not, this is what I want to explain to you now, I do not beg you like a servant. Bhrityavat, like a servant. Aham na yache, I do not beg. Tvam, I do not beg you like a servant. Having said that, he says, Yaha asau aditya mandalastaha, the all pervasive Hiranyagarbha. Who is Hiranyagarbha? The total manifestation, the subtle universe in its entirety, samashti sukshma prapanchaha means the subtle manifestation in its entirety is Hiranyagarbha. That Hiranyagarbha cannot be located in Aditya Mandalaha. But still, now how do you say this Surya is said to be the location of Hiranyagarbha. So we should remember, it's only for the sake of meditation. In the context of meditation, it is said. So Aditya Mandalastaha Vyahrityavayavaha Purushaha, that Hiranyagarbha is none other than, not different from me. I am that Hiranyagarbha. Aham Saha. Saha Aham. Soham Asmi. Yaha asau aditya mandalastaha saha aham asmi. Okay? Okay. Now, take this word soham asmi. Please be careful. Saha aham asmi. You break the sentence. Important lesson. Please listen. Saha aham asmi. You put together, if you remove the sandhi, you make, form the sandhi, then soham asmi. Saha is a third person singular pronoun. Aham is a first person singular pronoun. Asmi is a verb. I am. Asmi means am. Aham asmi, I am. Aham asmi saha means I am that. I am him. I am that Lord. I am that Hiranyagarbha. See, when you say I am that, always third person singular saha, third person singular pronoun saha stands for the Lord, the whole. Aham, first person singular pronoun, stands for the individual, you. Saha stands for the total, the Lord. Aham stands for individual, you. This is soham is an equation, it's a mahavakyam. In fact, in the context of Vedanta Shastram, soham is a mahavakyam, like aham brahmasmi, tattvamasi. Like mahavakyam, where? In the context of Jnana Kandaha. When you say aham, soham is a fact. Saha aham, I am that. Soham means I am that. I am that means is a mahavakyam. Mahavakyam means what? It's a fact. Fact means when soham, when you say the soham expression, if it comes in the context of Vedanta, Jnana Kanda, in Jnana Kanda, or Nivritti Margaha, then soham means what? Vision of the non-duality. Vision of the divisionlessness. Vision of oneness. Soham means vision of the oneness of the truth. Soham implies being one's own self. Being one's own self means not being different from the Lord. Not being different from the Lord means not being the slave. Everybody had to notice, okay? Aham, soham means, I am that means the vision of the fact. And being in that vision, remaining in that vision, abiding in that vision is what being contemplative. Being contemplative means abiding in that vision. Saha aham, I am that. So abiding in the vision means abiding in the vision of non-duality. Abiding in the vision of non-duality means being one's own self. Just being yourself. Being yourself means not being different from the Lord. Being one with the Lord. Being yourself is being one with the Lord. Being one with the Lord means not being different from the Lord. Not being different from the Lord means not being different from the Lord means not being the slave. Not being the servant. Not being the servant. Not being the servant means being the master. Being the master means being yourself. Being yourself means not being different from the Lord, being one with the Lord. This is the vision of the fact, this being in meditation, which is being contemplative, abiding in the vision. But now, who is this person who says soham? Very important lesson. It is not the context of jnanam. Ajnani is saying soham. I noticed important point. We are now seeing, we are discussing the subject matter of the karma kanda. Subject matter pertaining to karma kanda, where the upasana samuchaya karta, the person who practices meditation along with the performance of ritual, is an ajnani. And whose goal is to go to Devalokaha, and who seeks Hiranyagarbha's grace for journey to reach Hiranyagarbha. His goal is not moksha, his goal is lokaha. Is it clear? Even though he is a highly refined, highly evolved person, he is not as evolved as the wise person. He is also highly evolved person, not ordinary person. Karma upasana samuchaya karta, who is qualified to go to Brahma Loka, is not an ordinary person, very, very highly evolved person. But still, he is not as evolved as a wise person, because he is still ajnani, he is still bound, his still goal is only lokaha, even though highest of the lokaha. So when such an ajnani says sohamasmi, it is not a vision of a fact. When ajnani says, upasakaha says, a meditator says soham, it is not a vision of the fact, it is visualization, imagination. One thing is not a fact. Then what is it then? Why is it used here? See, Hiranyagarbha Upasanam can be practiced in two ways. There are two ways of practicing Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. Jnaneshwari asked that day. There are two ways of practicing meditation on Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha Upasana. We can invoke Hiranyagarbha, grace of Hiranyagarbha, in any external object which is taking it as an alambanam, a support. It can be a Shivalingam or Salagrama or any one of the murtis like this. We can invoke the grace of Hiranyagarbha in any of the objects, alambanams, outside, external to the body, mind, sense complex. That is one way of meditating upon Hiranyagarbha. There is another way of meditating upon Hiranyagarbha. That is called Ahangraha Upasanam. You all must have heard this before. Ahangraha Upasanam. Ahangraha Upasanam means what? Ahangraha Upasanam means Ahameva Alambanatvena Grihyate. Means I am myself taken as an alambanam for meditation. I am myself being taken as alambanam, support, a symbol of meditation means what? Invoking Hiranyagarbha in meditator himself or herself. Not on an object other than the meditator, external to the body, mind, sense complex, but invoking the Hiranyagarbha in the meditator himself or herself. Remember, this meditator is still ignorant, and his meditation is not Nirguna Brahma Upasanam. It is not Nididhyasanam, isn't it? So in Nididhyasanam, Nirguna Brahma Upasanam is actually dwelling upon one's own real nature, Swaroopa Anusandhanam, which is abiding in the vision of oneness, abiding in the vision of non-duality. It's called Abheda Darshanam. Abheda Darshanam means in contemplation there is a vision of non-difference between the meditator and the meditated. Abheda Darshanam, Abheda Jnanam, which is Nididhyasana, contemplation. And ultimately, we are all supposed to become contemplative. We are all supposed to be in contemplation. We are all supposed to abide in the vision of non-dual reality, non-duality of the reality. But now how anybody begins, what begins one's meditation? How? In Bheda Upasanam. Everyone begins with the Bheda Upasanam. Bheda Upasanam, the meditation wherein meditator, meditated, division is there, difference is there, is Bheda Upasanam. Is it? This meditation, Saguna Brahma Upasanam, Saguna Brahma Upasanam, where meditated object is different from the meditator, from this meditation we are supposed to go to Abheda Darshanam. From Bheda Upasanam we are supposed to go to Abheda, not Darshanam, meditation, Abheda Darshanam. In Abheda there is no meditation, you abide in vision. Abiding in the vision of the truth is what? Abheda Darshanam. Is it clear? The meditation where difference is there, from there we are supposed to, our meditation should culminate in the Abheda Darshanam, the vision of non-difference, vision of non-duality of the reality. But it is very difficult for any ordinary person to leap from Bheda Upasanam to Abheda Darshanam. Always you see, okay, don't worry, it's okay, I'll take care. always you see the object of meditation is gross, an object outside, external to you, and you are the meditator, and the difference is there. Of course, Ishvara is the object of meditation, but Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha, is always invoked in a given symbol, alambanam, and you meditate upon the symbol. So, it is easy. Even that is difficult. And from there, we have to it has to culminate in the subtlest vision of non-duality. Abheda darshanam or abheda jnanam. If it directly go from Beda upasanam to abheda darshanam, it is a huge leap. Instead, we can have some step in between. Suppose if those steps are not there, every day I have to jump on here and come and sit here, I can do that. But, isn't it? You all have to see me dancing. Why do you have that suffering of seeing me dancing? So better have some steps. So I can easily, without leaping, jumping, I can effortlessly, comfortably, I can climb on and come. Why do we have to have steps in between? To convert anything difficult into easy, if you have to convert something, make it easier, always has step. Leaping is difficult. Going step by step is easy. That to hear is not physical. Even physical activity, you need steps. And what about this completely cognitive, intellectual? Isn't it cognitive here? Vision is cognitive. And the mind is so used to seeing the object of meditation outside. I am the meditator. Object is other than me. Bhagavan is sitting in front of me. In this form, I am seeing. We are so orientation, isn't it? Meditate. And from this duality, division, the meditation which involves division and duality, from here to leap to the contemplation where duality is resolved, non-difference is resolved, isn't it? Is a big leap. Therefore, to make it easier, you need a step in between. And what is the step? Ahangraha upasanam. Why ahangraha upasanam is discussed in the shastram? That is the reason. And ahangraha upasanam also is saguna brahma upasanam only. It is not nididhyasanam. Why? Because the person who practices ahangraha upasanam also is still an ajnani, is still a karmakandi, is still a person who is involved in samuchaya. He is still involved in samuchaya, means combining, synthesizing karma and upasanam. He is still a samuchaya karta. Is it clear? Therefore, this is not a fact. How can an ajnani say, I am that? He doesn't know his swarupam yet. Is it clear? Therefore, it is not a fact. It is just a visualization or imagination. Again, this ahangraha upasanam also helps us to resolve, in fact, to thin the ahankara. thin, the bloated ahankara can be made thin. Ahankara is something very fat. It is difficult to push him. Swami used to use example. If somebody is very strong and healthy, this person has to be knocked off. How to knock him? He is very strong and fat. So put him to starvation. Make him thin, then knock him. Like that, ahankara is bloated, means difficult to resolve. So make the ahankara thin. So practicing ahankara upasana is one of the ways of, isn't it, making the ahankara slim. Shabby looking ahankara becomes slim beauty ahankara. Okay, let me tell you. So, ahankara upasana. So, invoking Hiranyagarbha in one's own self. How? The all-pervasive Hiranyagarbha is actually omnipotent. The total power of activity, kriya shakti, the total power of icha shakti, the total power of knowledge, jnana shakti, all three powers in totality put together is Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, it is that omnipotent Hiranyagarbha alone is there. Is what he totality of minds, totality of intellects, totality of physiological functions, totality of all powers. Therefore, always total pervades the fraction. Is it correct? Bahamas pervades Nasav. Correct? Nasav pervades yoga retreat, Shivananda yoga retreat place. Every wave is pervaded by ocean. Wave does not pervade the ocean, cannot pervade the ocean, but ocean does pervade the wave. Total pervades the fraction. The whole pervades the part, fraction. Is it clear? If Hiranyagarbha is total, what about my powers? Fraction. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha pervades everything. So, every individual is pervaded by whom? Hiranyagarbha. Every individual sukshma shariram is pervaded by total sukshma shariram, Hiranyagarbha. So Hiranyagarbha samashti sukshma prapanchaha pervades every individual sukshma shariram. Is it clear? Samashti sukshma prapanchaha Hiranyagarbha pervades every individual sukshma shariram. How? Samashti ocean pervades the vyashti wave. Samashti ocean pervades the vyashti wave. Similarly, samashti sukshma prapanchaha Hiranyagarbha pervades the vyashti sukshma shariram, individual subtle body. Therefore, now what does it mean here? If you see, that Hiranyagarbha is what? My own sukshma is Hiranyagarbha. There's no jnanam. But here, it's not abheda jnanam. It is relative abheda jnanam. It is not absolute abheda jnanam, but still abheda darsh, abheda upasanam. I am very happy, made it very clear to you. It's called abheda upasanam. How do you see yourself being non-separate from Hiranyagarbha? That Hiranyagarbha is all pervasive, because samashti sukshma prapanchaha Hiranyagarbha pervades every vyashti sukshma shariram. For this sukshma shariram is that samashti sukshma prapanchaha Hiranyagarbha. Is how you can say this wave is that ocean. Why? Is it clear? This wave is part of the ocean. Similarly, non-separate from ocean. Wave is non-separate from ocean. Similarly, Vyashti Sukshma Shariram is non-different from Samashti Sukshma Prapanchaha. That Hiranyagarbha is here in this individual me, as the Sukshma Shariram. Now, what is Alambanam for Hiranyagarbha? Your own mind, your own intellect, your own pranas, your own physiological functions, your own powers of organs of actions is Alambanam. Is it clear? If it is not clear, say this. Then I will repeat. I will explain. I won't repeat the same. I can try to say something differently. To drive home. Is it clear? This is called Ahangraha Upasanam. Who wants to practice Hiranyagarbha Upasanam? When you feel hungry, Hiranyagarbha. Is it? Aham Hiranyagarbha. Why? Because in ignorance, your identity is still with the Sukshma Shariram. Now you see yourself as what? So Sukshma Shariram. Isn't it? Your identity is still with the subtle body. You are subtle body. Therefore you can say what? Hiranyagarbha. Aham Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha in me wants food. A thirsty Hiranyagarbha in me wants water. Thinking, oh, so Hiranyagarbha in me is... You see, your mind is Hiranyagarbha, your intellect is Hiranyagarbha, every see power is Hiranyagarbha. Now, what is Alambaram? Do you have any external object outside? There is no Shivalingam outside, there is no Murti outside, no Salagrama outside. It is in the meditator himself or herself. Invoking Hiranyagarbha in an Alambanam which is not outside of one's body, mind, sense complex, but in one's own self, and meditator himself or herself is Ahangraha Upasanam. Is it clear? And it is practice what, even when you practice, already eye sense becomes little thin. Know how? You thought before, I am. Now you say Hiranyagarbha. All the eye has gone. What is your prana? Hiranyagarbha. What is your mind? Hiranyagarbha. Ishvara, Bhagavan, where am I? Where is mine? This is called converting bloated ahankara into a thin ahankara. Is it clear? Already you see, this is Bhagavan. This is Bhagavan means where am I? It's not jnanam yet. Still, bheda darshanam is. Still, ajnanam is there. Ajnanam is there, but this is abheda upasanam. It is not ahangraha upasanam, is not jnanam, is not knowledge, is not clear vision. It is not abheda jnanam, but it is abheda upasanam. So, soham is not abheda jnanam, but it is abheda upasanam. Comes in between bheda upasanam and abheda jnanam. In between comes ahangraha upasanam, which is abheda upasanam. Abheda means what? Non-different. Meditation in which the non-difference is there relatively, not absolutely. Is it clear? Relative non-difference. In fact, when you do the analysis of five koshas, at every level you are helped to see the non-difference. That is the purpose of doing panchakosha prakriya. Now you see, you analyze each layer of personality. I'm going out of the track just to help you understand ahangraha upasana. When you go out of the track, and then already what do you do? Analyze the physical body first, annamaya kosha. And what do you say? This annamaya is a corresponding total annam, and this annam is non-different from corresponding total matter, which is virat. So when you say, what is this? This is non-different from total corresponding matter. Individual material, physical body is non-different from total corresponding gross universe. Gross universe is also what? Gross universe is also Bhagavan for us. How? Virat. Look at the whole gross universe as the Lord, you give the name what? Virat. And when you say this is non-different from total gross universe, means this is already given to what? Resolved cognitively in Virat. It is Bhagavan, not me, not mine. This is, and then you got next layer of personality, prana. And you see your prana as part, non-different from samashti prana. You see your mind be non-different from samashti total minds. You see your intellect be non-different from total intellects. You see your physiological functions be non-different from total samashti prana. Samashti manaha, samashti pranaha, samashti buddhi, samashti indriyane, Hiranyagarbha. And you see your all subtle aspects being non-different from Hiranyagarbha. This what is what? Resolving at each level, at this physiological level, first physical level, physiological level, emotional level, intellectual level, you resolve. Emotional level, you first at pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, you resolve. You say what? Everything is Hiranyagarbha. The physical body you resolve, everything is Virat Ishvara. All Ishvara. Where am I? Where is mine? I go to Ajnanam finally. Avidya, Karma Shariram. That also you what now? The total ignorance is there, which is Shakti. Total power. You resolve this, your Avidya, the causal body, in corresponding total ignorance, maya. And what is maya? You say antaryami Ishvara. This is Ishvara. Okay. Nothing is yours. Nothing is you. You are distinct. Already at every level you resolve individuality in corresponding totality, which is converting your bloated ego into thinner, thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner, thinner ego. I mean, thin comes Aham Brahma Asmi, finished, you are lost. Only Brahman is there. I is the thinnest ahankara also is knocked off. And what is only Brahma? That is jnanam. That is non, abheda darshanam, not upasanam. So actually this is not, I need not have brought this panchakosha here just to help you understand how even directly telling, directly if you leap, it's a big leap. All that is, there's only consciousness, knowledge implied by the term Atma. There's nothing other than Atma, means the subtlest fact. All these days you're meditating, I am the meditator, I am the devotee, Bhagavan is sitting in front of me, I'm meditating on Bhagavan. Bheda darshanam. We all have to begin our school education with the crayons, no doubt. But when you begin, you have to afford to be coloring with crayons. You have to throw them, you have to come up. So, like that, we begin there, but this Bheda Upasanam gradually should become Abheda Upasanam, which is relative non-difference. Abheda Upasanam, which is not Abheda Jnanam. From here, we should move on to Abheda Darshanam. Is it clear? This is the purpose of Ahangraha Upasanam, which is not a jnanam, which still involves ajnanam. So here, come to the point. Why explain this much? Kincha aham natu tvam bhrityavat yache, na yache bhrityavat. Brityaha means servant. If between you and the Lord, servant master relationship, there is duality. In non-duality, there is self mastery. You are non-different from Lord in clear vision. You are a master. So being the master means not being the servant. Not being the servant means being one's own self. Being yourself. Swami. Bhrityaha, as another word, dasaha. Dasaha, servant. So an Advaitin can say, Soham, I am the truth. Advaiti can say, add one da before so. Da soham. Soham, add one da before soham. Da soham. Dasoham means I am servant of the Lord. I am servant of the Lord means, please don't mistake, okay? You know, ego or anything. I am servant of the Lord means I am different from the Lord. I see myself being different from the Lord. I see the Lord to be different from something other than me. Is it clear? In the vision of non-duality, I am not different from the Lord. Lord is not different from me. Means, I am not Dasaha, I am Swami. I am Swami. In vision, I am Swami. In ignorance, I am Dasaha. Bhrityaha. But in between, I'm relatively non-different at this level. So that's why, so this aham Shankar Bhagavatpada, in his commentary, purposely he writes this. It's not mantra. Aham na na bhrityaha tvam na yache. I don't beg you like a servant. Why? Because I am you. Soham means ahangraha upasanam he just mentions. Is it clear now? Shankara tries to bring to our notice the possibility of ahangraha upasanam. Is it clear? Okay. Otherwise, why? In Advaita, in Jnanakanda also we say soham. In meditation, still ajnanam is there. How can we say soham? Is it not a fact? Still ajnanam is there. It is only for visualization. I am non-different from Hiranyagarbha. This subtle body is different from non-different from Hiranyagarbha is a fact. But he identifies himself with subtle body and says, I am non-different from Hiranyagarbha. Therefore, it is not abheda darshanam, it is abheda upasanam. I am very happy. I clarified it. So, okay, next. So, this is a last bit, no? Lot of information I have to tell. Is it clear? Yaha asau adityamandalastha. I've already explained this. Aditya mandalam means solar disk. Mandalastha means what? The Hiranyagarbha who is located in Aditya mandalam. I already said in not location, only for the purpose of meditation. Do you know the meaning? Next line. Vyahrityavayavaha purushaha. Now, Hiranyagarbha is known by another term, purushaha. Purushaha literally means man. Purushaha literally means the person. Male or female, any person can be meant by the word purushaha. And here Hiranyagarbha is meant by the word Purushaha. And this Hiranyagarbha is said to be Vyahrityavayavaha. This mantra has nothing to do with this, okay? Shankara Bhagavatpada, he describes Hiranyagarbha as Vyahrityavayavaha. Avayavaha means limbs. Avayavaha means a limb. Hand, leg, etc. Avayavas. Avayavaha means limb. And Hiranyagarbha, when you look at this entire subtle manifestation is Hiranyagarbha means, we personify Hiranyagarbha. Okay? Hiranyagarbha has no form. Why? The total is Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear? Hiranyagarbha is a name attributed to the Lord in the form of entire subtle manifestation. So formless. You can't draw Hiranyagarbha. How Hiranyagarbha looks? You cannot draw any of your subtle body, subtle aspects. Can you draw your mind, draw your intellect, draw your sense powers, draw your physiological functions? No. You can make noise. Only prana can make noise and show. But you cannot describe subtle body because formless. Subtle means formless, act imperceptible. How can you draw, describe? What about samashti Hiranyagarbha? Samashti, formless. But you personify formless Hiranyagarbha. Cognitive, you just visualize Hiranyagarbha as the one with the forms. Form. And if you personify Hiranyagarbha, you see, you visualize Hiranyagarbha as the one having a form. If at all he has a form, what can be his limbs? The limbs are Vyakritis. So Hiranyagarbha is described as the one with the form. The formless Hiranyagarbha is personified, okay, seen as though he has a form, and his limbs are the Vyakritis, head, hands, all looked upon as limbs. What are Vyakritis? Do you remember what Vyakritis are? Do you know what Vyakritis are? Vyakritis are Bhohu, Bhuvaha, Suvaha, Mahaha. You would have heard this. Okay, these are all Vyakritayaha. Is it clear? And no, so this Bhuhu is one Vyakriti. It is looked upon as Bhuriti. Bhuhu is a head. Bhuhu stands for head. It's an example I'm giving. Bhuhu is seen as the head of Hiranyagarbha. Bhuvaha, hands. Suvaha, vayuhu. Like that, seeing. These Vyakritis are seen as the limbs of Hiranyagarbha. And Bhuhu is one letter, or one head. Bhuvaha has two letters, about two hands. Like there's some, you know, reason also is given in Upanishads. We are getting into the details, but why Shankara Bhagavatpadaha calls Hiranyagarbha as Vyahrityavayavaha? Hiranyagarbha is said to have Vyakritis as limbs. The one who is endowed with the Vyakritis as his limbs is known as Vyahrityavayavaha. Vyahrityavayavaha is the name of Hiranyagarbha. Why? Hiranyagarbha is the one who is endowed with Vyakritis as his limbs. As the one meaning. And this is actually, this is Shankaracharya brings this word remembering the teaching of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. See, for him everything is in fingertips. When he writes, he brings from there to here, from here, he takes everywhere. We had got to know that. See, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, first I told two chapters, he leaves without commenting upon them because all about karma. Then after that, first four chapters discuss only Vedantic subject matter. Again, last two chapters discuss upasanams. And there in the upasanam, this all information comes. That is the elaborately Hiranyagarbha is said to be Vyakrityavayavaha there. Okay, therefore he connects this Upanishad with that Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. He mentions why Hiranyagarbha is given another name, Vyakrityavayavaha. If you go for this word Vyakrityavayavaha, you cannot find in the mantra. It is found only in the Bhashyam. Because the topic is about prayer of karma samuchaya, karma upasana samuchaya kartuhu prayer. The prayer is of the synthesizer of karma and upasana. And his interest is in Hiranyagarbha. And that Hiranyagarbha happens to be the one who is sought after by this upasana meditator. He wants to talk about Hiranyagarbha in his commentary. And first he said, Aditya Mandalastha explained, Why Ahankara Upasanam also I explained. Now we saw why his name is Vyahritya Vyavaha. We have seen. Now we have to go to the next word, Purushaha. Why Hiranyagarbha is known as Purushaha? It's all throws light on your understanding. And here, thank God, we don't need to work very hard. Shankara Bhagavatpada himself gives three reasons for why his name is Purushaha. First reason, Purusha Akaratvat Purushaha. First reason is what? You can write it, Purusha Akaratvat Purushaha iti uchyate Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is said to be Purushaha because of the Purusha Akara. Akara means appearance. What is appearance here? Because Hiranyagarbha is personified. Is it said to have? Hiranyagarbha is the person. Is personified as the total Purusha. Purusha Akaratvat Purushaha. Second meaning, Purnamva Anena Pranabuddhyatmana Pranabuddhyatmana Jagat Samastam Iti Purushaha. Second meaning of the word Purushaha. I think better to memorize this, okay? Definitions. Purushakaratvat Purushaha. Next definition what? Next definition is Prana Buddhyatmana Jagat Sarvam Purnam Anena. I repeat it. Prana Buddhyatmana Jagat Sarvam Jagat Samastam Anena Purnam Iti Purushaha. The one who fills everything. Purayati Iti Purushaha. Simple definition. That which fills everything. Therefore it is called the one by whom everything is filled. One who fills everything is called Purushaha. Purayati means the one who fills everything is Purushaha. And here he gives the passive participle. Past passive participle is given here as filled. The one by whom samastam jagat purnam. This entire cosmos is filled. How? In what form does Hiranyagarbha fill? Atma fills everything in the form of consciousness. Isn't it? Atma being the subtlest Atma is the all pervasive. And the Hiranyagarbha is relatively all pervasive, isn't it? How does he pervade everything? See, the total gross universe is filled by Hiranyagarbha in the form of total powers, totality of powers. How? Prana Buddhyatmana. What is Pranaha? Pranaha stands for Kriya Shakti, the power of activity. Prana, all physiological functions and all subtle powers of organs of actions are all what? Power of activity, Kriya Shakti. Okay, the Kriya Shakti alone is manifest as all the physiological functions and all powers of organs of actions. Then, all our minds, the capacity to desire, Ichha Shakti alone is manifest as minds. And power of knowledge, Jnana Shaktihi, the capacity to know, is manifest as intellects. Okay, Jnana Shaktihi, Kriya Ichha Shaktihi, Kriya Shaktihi. The three must be there. First, knowledge. We all, see, there's a capacity to know is there. The capacity to know means what? There is food available at 10 o'clock. It's jnanam. Raniji always thinks I'm only using food example. People remember easily, isn't it? When you're hungry, I should remember only that. I'm not hungry, really speaking. I never feel hungry in this place. I'm overfed. Fed very well. I don't think anybody is hungry here. What I'm saying, okay, the knowledge, once you know there is food, the capacity to know something is available is what? Knowledge. And then let me eat. Desire to eat comes only when you know there is food, isn't it? Knowledge, always knowledge presupposes desire. Before desire, knowledge must be there. You know something is available in the market. You know, then let me go and buy it. Desire comes. When the desire comes, you go. Action follows. Knowledge is followed by desire. Desire is followed by action. Okay. And for these three, there must be power. Jnana Shaktihi, Ichha Shaktihi, Kriya Shaktihi. Is it clear? That's why it is this omnipotent Hiranyagarbha who is endowed with all powers together. Isn't it? Totality of powers, omnipotent, almighty Hiranyagarbha alone is in the form of, fills the entire gross universe in the form of minds, intellects, you know, physiological functions, powers. Okay? Therefore, Purnamva Anena Prana Buddhyatmana Jagat Samastam. This entire objective gross universe is filled by Hiranyagarbha in the form of threefold powers, obtaining in the form of all pranas, minds and intellects. Clear? Therefore, Hiranyagarbha fills the gross universe, therefore he is called Purushaha. Purayati Sarvam Jagat Iti Purushaha. The same name is given to Atma also in different context. How Atma fills, that is different from Hiranyagarbha's filling. Hiranyagarbha fills relatively, Atma fills absolutely. Therefore, Atma also gets the name Purushaha. Hiranyagarbha also gets the name Purushaha. But who is absolute Purushaha? Atma. Hiranyagarbha, relative Purushaha. Purushaha means the Lord. In Purusha Suktam, we have this. Purusha ye vedagam sarvam yad bhotayaccha bhoyam. Everything is Purusha. There you mean Ishvara again. Here Purusha is Hiranyagarbha. Now Purusha, what is the actual meaning? Prana Buddhyatmana. Say? జగత్ సమస్తం పూర్ణం ఇతి పురుషః. వి హావ్ సీన్ టూ మీనింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద వర్డ్ పురుష. వన్ మోర్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ పురుష ఇస్ దేర్. విల్ కమ్ బ్యాక్ అండ్ సీ. Somehow we're all fresh in the mornings. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantih. హరి ఓం తత్సత్ శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. క్వశ్చన్స్ లెట్స్ స్టార్ట్ పర్పస్లీ టు ఎక్స్ప్రెస్ సమ్ క్వశ్చన్స్.
And then just before the time of death, he wants to go to
Brahmaloka. Now he wants to go means he can only go, he knows any meditator can go to Brahmaloka only after death.
But if someone is interested in moksha.
Yeah. Then don't want to pray, he can pray for moksha. This is only a prayer by samuchayavadi. A person is not interested in loka, there's no need for him. We are only understanding how ajnanis who are interested in lokas, who practices this meditation, who practices meditation along with the performance of rituals specifically for these ends. There are people who are interested.
Upanishad is teaching about
jnana. Yeah, Upanishad is a jnana. Upanishad belongs to jnana kanda. The main subject matter of Upanishad is only jnanam, not upasanam. But here, upasanas are, some upasanas are discussed here, even as you are studying Upanishad, for you to confirm, no, what I am not interested in this. Some understanding is given. Suppose, without studying karma kanda, upasana kanda, even if you happen to study only Upanishad for jnanam, even then, if at all somewhere, some interest is in there, other interests. But just understanding, one can grow out of desire for lokas. Just for understanding. Upanishad also includes these things. And second thing, as I said, even a person who is interested in only moksha and jnanam, still for him to grow, to prepare his mind for jnanam, he can practice this upasanam as a yoga, as a preparatory discipline. The Nishkama Upasanam. The same Upasanam which involves Saguna Brahma Upasanam, even a Jignyasu, a Mukshu, whose aim is only accomplishing Moksha, he is not at all interested in any Loka, he also can practice his Upasanam, not for Loka, but for preparing his mind for Jnanam. If a person practices this meditation without being interested, without having any interest in going to loka, the same meditation book becomes a preparatory discipline. It becomes a nishkama upasanam. The same upasanam is practiced without having any interest in moksha or jnanam. Loka is interest, is goal for him. It becomes a sakama upasanam. Sakama upasanam, nishkama upasanam. Two different names. Same meditation. When do you call it anishkama upasanam? Upasanam practiced without being attached to the result of the upasanam. Why? Because the meditator is not interested in the result accomplishable through this upasanam, but he practices this upasanam to prepare his mind for jnanam. Because ahangraha upasanam will help you. Gradually, to shift gradually, isn't it? See, to shift the essence from grossest matter to subtlest consciousness is difficult. You shift the grossest matter to subtle matter, from subtle matter to subtlest consciousness, isn't it? So, even for a person who is not a moksha, who is not at all interested in loka, even that person can practice his meditation. It is not a must. It is not a must. Optional. Saguna Brahma Upasanam for Jignasu, for a moksha, is an optional. If you only do Shravanam, you don't need it. Shravanam means you are always... Shravanam is the beginning of meditation. Maranam is again continuation of meditation. Okay? Nidhyasanam is being in meditation. For a person who is given a discipline of Jnana Yoga, he lives life meditation. When you are listening to the unfoldment of the teaching, where is your mind? Where is your mind? In the Swarupam, isn't it? Understand teaching, it is meditation, which is beginning of meditation. Mananam, continuation of meditation. Nididhyasanam is being in meditation. Beginning, continuing, being. So life of meditation. Whereas, for an Ajnani also, a Karma Yogi, who wants to practice, who performs ritual, who also wants to practice upasanam for antahkarana naischalyam. Karma performed with the proper attitude will result in antahkarana shuddhi. Upasanam practiced with the proper attitude will result in antahkarana naischalyam. Mental purity and mental steadiness. Karma for purity, upasanam for steadiness. When it is practiced, not being interested in any results, the aim of practicing meditation is to prepare the mind for jnanam. He knows, person knows how, what condition of the mind, he practices this to prepare himself. Then the same upasanam becomes nishkama upasanam. Nishkama upasana means it becomes a preparatory discipline, a yoga. Without interest in moksha, jnanam, a person is still very religious, highly disciplined, highly evolved, but not at all interested in jnanam and moksha. Loka is his interest. He practices, nothing wrong, but he is his upasana is sakama upasanam. Is it clear? So it will take some more time for him to come to jnana. He is also nobody really speaking. There's nothing bad happens for anybody who lives a life of enjoyed by the Shastra. Krishna says in Gita, Nahi Kalyana Kritkaschita Durgatim Tata Gachati. Nobody, no, whoever is given to Bhagavan, when once you have come the hold of this Shastra, it's like clean life. There's no Durgati. Everybody good gati only. Have you answered?
Yes, thank you, Samji. So, if a person is practicing this for jnana,
and to prepare mind, for jnanam only shravanam mananam. Shravanam is for jnanam. Shravanam is the only discipline for jnanam. For correction of errors, mananam. For assimilation, nidhyasanam. Meditation is only for purification, preparation.
In this case, it's not just before death. It's any time. It's optional.
No, meditation, whoever practices meditation has to practice the whole life. Okay? But before the death happens, the person who practices meditation for loka, he can do this prayer. Because he is about to leave. As soon as they leave, I should not go to any other body. I should be careful. I put the right track. So I go to, I don't miss my hard work, result of my hard work. That is his aim. Yeah. The upasaka, of course, will pray for this before. Definitely he will pray for gati before he leaves. Okay, that is the time for him to leave. That's the time he has to make a journey. So, isn't it? That's why it's called a yanam, yatra. the departure happens, no? So he is very conscious of not missing, because whole life consciously he practices meditation to attain Hiranyagarbha-loka. And he knows attainment of Hiranyagarbha-loka only after the death, after leaving the physical body. This body is a Martyaloka body. He has to leave his body. In subtle form he can travel. And then, so that time he can't pray when he is in Sukshma form. Prayer is possible only when you have body in this world. Only as a human being living with this body you can pray. So he is praying. Only left means you can't pray. Only travel. Okay. After getting into aircraft, you can't say, I want to get down and go back for coconut chips in Bahamas. Come on, get up. They won't stop on the way. Is it clear? Still not clear?
Yes, thank you. Just one
thing. Yes.
Now being so in the Bhashya, Adi Shankaracharya, he takes this more in the direction of the Nyani, because he explained how to convert this meditation to moksha.
No, because we are all Upanishad students, no? Our interest is in Jnanam and Moksha. We are all actual Vedanta students studying Upanishads. So, because Shankaracharya's aim is to help us understand the main teaching. So, that's why commentate, we need a Gabhashya. Only reading the mantra, what do we understand otherwise? So, the way he mentions the word, I don't beg you like a beggar, a servant, means he makes it very clear. That note actually is to bring to our notice something being angraha upasanam being there. Is it clear? Yeah. Yes. Please give her the mic. And Ganesh, you had some question as well? Okay. Please. No, all of you, I have no problem. I'm not very hungry. At all. I'm fresh also now. I'm not sleepy also now.
I have a question to the Hiranyagarbha-upasana. So, you can meditate on the simple. And is meditation on light also a symbol?
Any object other than yourself. The object of meditation is anything other than your own real nature is Saguna Brahma Upasana. It is meditation. Okay, meditate on light also, no problem. But how will you meditate on light? If the light is a symbol for Ishvara Bhagavan, then you can call it a meditation. Without connecting, if you don't look at the light as a symbol of the symbol for the Lord, if you simply I meditate on light. It's some practice of concentration. Same. You are focusing attention on a given object for a length of time. What is meditation? Focusing one's attention on a given, total attention, withdrawing from everywhere, placing the attention on a given object is dharanam. After placing it, then you dwell upon it, continuously try to keep the attention on the given object for a length of time is meditation. If that object what you're focusing on is a symbol, it symbolizes, stands for Bhagavan. If you invoke the Lord in the given symbol, only then it is upasana, meditation. Otherwise, the simple concentration practice. It's an exercise. You train your mind, like training your mind. Every day take the dog, go to the walk. Train the dog. Sit, get up, play, run. It's called taming the dog. It's like training the dog. Like mind also can be tamed. We are not interested in taming the dog, taming the mind. We are interested in making the mind disciplined. Simply mechanically train. training is different, isn't it? Such a difference is there. Even you can train the dogs, they go and play, pick up the ball, come back. Like that, your mind also can be trained to do certain things. Anything every day you do, will get used to doing things. There's no focus. What are you doing it for? But here, there's a purpose. Bhagavan is my goal. Lord is my goal. So, I try. But Lord is everything. Incomprehensibly big. Therefore, the mind which is part of the whole, how can it dwell upon the whole? Difficult. That is why we have, even worshipping, we have forms, symbols. Even meditation also, we take any one thing as an alambanam. Why? Why support? Why alambanam? Because the meditating mind itself is part of the whole, the Ishvara. How can you fraction meditate on the whole? Therefore, we need an alambanam which stands for the whole. Therefore, object of meditation must be Ishvara. Devata jnanam. Only then you can call it meditation. Otherwise, if you simply I practice something, means people call it meditation. People call it meditation, but there's no purpose. Simply, I'm practicing for relaxation. I'm practicing for this. Of course, relaxation, everything is past. No, you can get some stress, get rid of stress and all that is. They're all possible. Results are possible. But the purpose is not simply relaxation and then becoming stress-free. That's not the only purpose for us. Therefore, those things are all some techniques, some exercises, mental exercises. We don't give the title, Dhyana, meditation. Does it make sense? We call it concentration. Not meditation is concentration because your attention is focused. But concentration is not meditation. Contemplation is meditation and concentration. The contemplation is concentration is all there. It's mental activity, but still meditation, concentration is not contemplation. Contemplation is meditation. Contemplation is concentration. But simple concentration is not meditation or contemplation. Meditation is not contemplation. Dashavadhanam. Dashavadhanam. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.